We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time for Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg. Take us with us on the Odyssey app. If you have to leave your present location, we are in our usual spot Sunday morning, 6 a.m. to 10. Been hearing us on Saturdays, and we appreciate you tuning in when we're there. But as we always say, starting off the show and throughout the show, good morning, Georgia!
Morning.
And I have decided that when I reach out to some of these people, even though we get little nuggets from Mr. Crenshaw, I'm going to start off and just kind of quick shout out to folks in Monroe. And in case you didn't know, Monroe is in Walton County, located about an hour east of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to give my little nugget, even though I don't know nothing else about the place. It's also known as it's. Hang on a second. Wait. I'm reading these little nuggets here. So when I throw some out here, where's it at there? Oh, Monroe is also a city known for its accessibility to Conyers.
Yeah, because it's right next door.
Yeah,
well, going down I-20.
There you go. See, so
you get to.
In case you didn't, y'all maybe didn't know that they're going out to Conyers. I didn't know that. Folks out there know that. But anyway, morning. So as you sit here
out
on
I-20 East.
Yeah,
I got a good friend. I got a good friend that's from Monroe. I won't mention his name, but I got a good friend that's from Monroe. But go ahead.
They might be happy that you did, but I understand. You give a first name, can't you? You ain't got to get a last name.
Will.
There you go. Will would be happy. And that, of course, is the Supernatural Highway, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait. Is Monroe between? No, it can't be because they're next to each other, Covington and Conyers.
Covington is between the two.
Right. So I'm saying they're not actually part of the Supernatural Highway then because it's between Covington and Conyers, I-20, that stretch. Doesn't go into Monroe.
It's on the other side of Covington.
They have missed out. Maybe when we redistrict in about 10 years from now, we include them. Because, you know, that's always part of things. Anyway, good morning, Georgia. And it's I didn't see this coming and the exciting play of what's going on with the NBA Finals. I mean, we got a yin and a yang of a show. We got good stuff, cool stuff to talk about, and then we got stuff to make you want to hide under the covers, don't we? Well, that's
yeah, we
about, yeah, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, we got a little bit of everything going on today, you know. We do.
I just
– well, we can start with NBA. We can start with NBA.
Yeah.
And really is a very eventful day for us. Yesterday, locally – considering what people went through, all of this angst about, you know, Joseph Martinez and, you know, Atlanta United playing. We're going to get into that today. They did lose 1-0, but that's just the backdrop to the rest of that story. We were wondering about the Braves, what would happen. We've got a new right fielder. We changed the batting order. And for right now, man, it works pretty good.
We got a guy on the team named Jock.
Yep.
Jock.
Yep.
When last time you heard that name?
Wow. Dallas?
That's exactly the one I'm thinking of. That's the last time, the 80s. And it's and I'm sure it's a very popular name in areas, but on a national scale.
International, there was a dude that had a boat that used to come on TV every now and then. He used to go down in the bottom of the ocean. But
oh, Cousteau.
That was Jacques.
That was Jacques.
Okay.
Anyway, go ahead with what you're saying there.
That's the Jock. Dude with a boat. The Calypso, I think it was called.
Wow. You are pulling out Jacques Ewing and Jacques Cousteau, and I don't know which one is older. Well, one's not with us anymore. Actually, I think they're both not with us.
They're both in the great beyond.
Yeah, but just like Will, they'd be happy to know they were mentioned this morning.
They would be.
They would. Absolutely.
Welcome to the age, Jock Peterson. Welcome.
Yes.
Glad to have you. And we'll get into that in our next segment. We're going to talk some baseball and Braves. But this thing that happened last night up in D.C., man. And we'll be talking about this throughout the day because it as people wake up, if you weren't aware of what happened, while the Padres and Nationals are playing their game in the sixth inning, a shooting occurs outside of the ballpark, and people find out about it. They played the audio. I listened. You could hear the gunshots, the gunfire. But if you're at a baseball stadium, you're maybe not sure of what it is you're hearing, but then you start seeing people move. And that's the thing that you're afraid of. If you've ever been in a situation, a crowded area, at a stadium or an event, and somebody says something or hears something, and folks just start moving, that is a scary, very scary situation if you're in that. I got to give the people credit there at the ballpark there in Washington for getting people to move quickly but orderly, giving them instructions of where to go to exit to avoid that side of the stadium, that side of the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And I think things went as well as it did. There was no stampede, nobody rushing, nobody getting trampled, nobody getting injured. You could have had far more injuries inside that stadium than you had outside the stadium. And the thing about the shooting victims, I think everybody's expected to recover from the incident, and they tracked down at least one of the cars that was involved.
Well, the dude showed up at the hospital. They showed up at the hospital with gunshot wounds. So that was kind of a telltale sign. They got one. They haven't got the other one. But, yeah, that is one of the things that I know about police work. I know if there's a shooting someplace and they can't find them, just hang around a bunch of hospitals close by. One of them might be dumb enough just to show up. And apparently that's what happened. So.
Well, one of them would have to show up.
Yeah. Unless you know some people. You know.
Well, yeah.
Like The Sopranos. What was that movie, Heat? With De Niro and them guys?
Doctor down the street.
Yeah, man. They got them dudes on calls. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. So I knock on the door 3 times, you know what's going on. And then the next thing you know, the guy's got a Cadillac in his driveway the next week. Because he helped him out. You never saw that movie?
Much?
No, well, I'm just saying, we've seen that depicted in movies. Happens much? I don't know. I can't testify to that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's a scenario that has been well documented. So it must happen in certain places. Luckily, I haven't been a part of it. So, but listen, not only that, but let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in that situation where you were covering a game or just even as a fan throughout your life and all of a sudden craziness breaks out and you don't know, but you're going to follow, like rats, you're just going to follow the crowd?
I haven't remember covering anything when something like that happened. Been covering some events where things got a little testy or there was some stuff happening that made you shake your head and say, boy, why is this happening here? But at an event at a stadium, at an old Fulton County Stadium, at a way, it was held a concert years ago, and somebody shouted, I don't think anybody really had a gun, but somebody shouted it, and then people ran over folks, and people got trampled, and pregnant women went into labor. It was
what?
And I'm up in the stands. But there were people sitting on the field at the time of the grass. And people, if any of y'all who are listening right now who are old enough to remember an event they called the Atlanta Jam that happened. And, this was back 70s. And you didn't have cell phones back then. So I'm up in the stands with some folks I went to school with, but I did have some friends on the field. And how do you know those people are okay? It's amazing how you would find each other again. People would find each other back then. Could you consider now you just pick up your phone and say, okay, where are you? So that was the thing. We just waited for the longest time to find, where they were, get reconnected. You didn't want to go to your car and leave and, somebody not be there. And it was right in the middle of the show, so there was some more acts that had to come on stage. So they didn't stop it. They paused it for a moment, and once they got people restored to order, they resumed with the rest of the show.
Jeez.
Yeah, for a minute there, it got a little hairy.
I just remember as a kid once there was something going on at a Sox game on the south side, and everybody went flying to the exits. Now, I don't know what it was, but something was going on, and everybody just went flying. Now, again, this is during that time where that wasn't even reported. So somebody could have been injured. Yeah. Some sort of illegal event could have taken place and made everybody just start rushing like running water. But I don't ever remember hearing the reason why. But I just remember being there at the Sox game. And so this is the sort of thing that's happened here. Go ahead.
That's all pre-9/11. It's all pre-9/11 before we started screening people at entrances and metal detectors and that type thing. Unfortunately, but not as part of practically everywhere we go.
Yeah.
But, you know, in those years, people could have brought anything. Into
well, listen,
and sometimes they did, but it's just a thing where we weren't conscious of it, we weren't focusing on it, and nothing happened, you know?
It boggles the mind, and I don't know if it still happens. I really don't. I've not seen it in years. I might have been banned, but the fact that baseball used to have this policy where they would give out these weapons and call it bat day.
Oh, yeah.
And continue to serve alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you think back at that, it's like, you shake your head like Scooby-Doo. What? We did that? Quick rundown of what's going on here today. Sam and I, we're going to have the pleasure of talking to Jeff Fisher, High School America. Got a top 100 out. We're going to talk about that before the end of the hour. Adam Alexander is going to join us this week. Of course, you know Adam from being a guest on the show, but also FS1, calling it, and his show, Race Day, which is on FS1. We got Deshaun Tate, who's happy to join us, come on and talk NBA Finals. And later on, Joe Patrick. Now, Joe's a regular on the show, so is Deshaun. And so is Adam, as a matter of fact. We got a bunch of regulars here today. But Joe, where we normally focus on the Braves in Major League Baseball, we'll probably focus on his story, which you can see in Dirty South Soccer, about Atlanta United and what's going on with them these days. And Joseph Martinez got himself some popcorn and watched the game yesterday. And that whole situation about him not practicing with the team. So we will delve deep into that. But Sam, before we get on out of here, along the lines of some of the stuff you were talking about earlier, this craziness, it's been a month or so, or a couple months, and we've seen the fans deciding to just throw things at the athletes, right? We saw it a lot in basketball during the season.
We had a baseball come out of the
– That's what I'm talking about. I mean, this was straight out of one of the oldest stories. And believe it or not, that makes me think of a Kennesaw Mountain Landis story. What happened in Yankee Stadium yesterday. Guy threw a baseball at – was it Alex – I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Verdugo? And Alex Cora went out and pulled him. Went out and pulled him. Said, enough of this craziness. Now, the good news is that fans around idiots who do this sort of thing have now decided, we're not letting you do this. You're not ruining our day. So everybody points out the person who does something silly. Do you remember the story about Kennesaw Mountain Landis attending a World Series game, I think it was, back in the day? And he's commissioner. And he saw some craziness going on between the Cardinals, and forgive me for not knowing the other team, but the guy's name was Ducky Medwick. And he slid into third base, spikes up. We were talking about Ty Cobb yesterday. This dude pulled one of those moves into the third baseman, right? So the next inning, when he goes out in the right field, he gets pelted. He gets pelted with who knows what, to the point where Kennesaw Mountain Landis pulled this dude from the game. Not the managers, the commissioner. Went, get him out of this game. I'm wondering if Rob Manfred would do that, were he attending a game and saw something like that.
Wow.
I'm just saying. That's a famous story from
know.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
That's a story that I remembered hearing once. I was captivated because I never heard anybody with the kind of name like Kennesaw Mountain Landis. So that's why I remembered his. This is before I even moved to Georgia. And I remember that.
You moved to Georgia and found out
there's actually a Kennesaw. That threw me.
You talk about bat day. You talk about bat day. They used to give baseballs too. It used to be a day where they would give people a baseball. Would you do that again today?
Well, I do it before I give away a bat. I'm throwing a baseball maybe, but I'm keeping a bat. And like I said, alcohol, I don't know. This is just, like I said, it makes you shake your head. We are just getting started. Again, Sam and I are going to be here till 10 o'clock. And up next, we're going to delve deep into these NBA Finals, give our thoughts on what we see after Game 5 and what might happen. Boy, the celebration in Milwaukee might happen on Tuesday night. Sam and Greg just getting started on a Sunday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, also on the Odyssey app.
Yeah. Ooh, that's why I'm easy. Like Sunday morning.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia. It is Sam and Greg. We are here until 10 o'clock. As always, you can take us with you on the Odyssey app. Yeah, just getting started on this morning where it's the yin and the yang of sports. There's good stuff, especially if you're from Milwaukee. And I was trying to look. And by the way, I cannot believe I was absolutely right on that insignificant little nugget I dropped at the end of that last segment. Because I thought I left. The only thing I was missing was the Detroit Tigers. But the bigger point is, you know, all of us, and that includes Ken, our producer, you sit and sometimes amaze yourself at the things you retain. The insignificant information and the fact that you never use it, and then every once in a while there's this spot. Like, I never, in any point in my life, think about how I would use that little nugget about Kennesaw Mountain Landis and what he did during the World Series. But yet, it takes a Yankees
sure
fan
yep. right.
to throw a base. Yeah.
The opportunity presented itself. There you go.
The things that you remember. If you weren't listening, we're talking about the event, and we're going to get to the finals in just a second. If you're just tuning in, yesterday's Yankees game with the Red Sox, it was rainy. It was just a nasty day, and some knucklehead threw a baseball at the left fielder with the Red Sox. Alex Cora comes out, takes him out of the game, and I was remembering this is a famous story. And you know who I might have remembered hearing that from is when I was a kid, Joe Garagiola and Vin Scully, when they used to do the game of the week.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, Joe Garage Door Opener used to always, that's what I used to call him. Steve Dowell was another famous radio guy, used to call him that. That just stuck with me. But he was part of the Gas House Gang, and that was that Cardinals team. And he'd always talk about the Gas House Gang and him and Yogi Berra because they grew up in St. Louis. And he still, again, see, I'm remembering all this. I don't know why I'm remembering all this, but it did. It popped into my mind as soon as we were talking about this guy throwing a baseball. But brought up the Gas House Gang. They're killing the Detroit Tigers in the World Series. The commissioner's there, who happened to be Kennesaw Mountain Landis. This guy, 11-0. They're beating the Tigers. He goes in with a hard Ty Cobb spikes up slide. And when he went out to left field the next inning, they just were pelting him with stuff. And Kennesaw reached out and said, listen, we got to get this dude out of here. And the commissioner stepped in. Not the manager of the team. The commissioner, who's sitting there eating hot dogs, went and pulled him out of the game. So yeah. I just remembered that.
You know what that speaks to, Greg? You know what that speaks to? That speaks to just the way baseball is broadcast and the broadcast delivery of baseball. You get a chance to tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
The game moves at a pace that lends itself to sharing timely stories. And I think that's a different. I mean, you can get stories with other sports that you listen to when you're watching NBA, but it's moving. So you keep it. You don't have time to really get into a story because something else has happened on the floor.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And we hear that.
Same is true for football. A little bit more, you can get a little something in with football, but baseball lends itself to storytelling. And I mean, the guys that we see and we give credit for being the great baseball announcers of the day, we're capable of telling you what's happening on the field, but weaving those stories in. And to me, that's why we remember things like that from baseball.
And this city will obviously think fondly of the storyteller in Ernie Johnson. When he was calling games here, I wasn't living here when Milo Hamilton? He was here for
Milo
a while,
Hamilton,
right?
Milo and Ernie they were standard equipment with the team. When the team came,
standard equipment, like the air conditioning.
Yeah, they came right along with the team when they arrived here from Milwaukee. But you know, great storytellers, and of course, for Father's Day, our Sunday message came from Ernie Jr.
Yeah.
He still hadn't done something that Ernie Sr. used to do when there was a rain delay, somebody would always get a baseball up to the broadcast booth. And Ernie Sr. would get a baseball and show you the grips for every pitch. Every pitch there was. Knuckleball, palm ball, curveball. You're laughing, man.
I'm laughing because that sounds great. That's just such a part of the baseball that's now gone.
He would get some kind of way. I don't know who would get one to him if he would take one up there just in case. And he was also known for having a fishing net in case a foul ball came up to it.
That's my side of the fence, because that's what I remember from Harry Carey.
And
that's when he would stay in the booth at times. But Harry would broadcast to the booth. He'd have a fishing net out there. And as opposed to somebody bringing, a baseball to Harry, they brought him something else. And it was usually a beverage. And he used to broadcast from center field in Comiskey Park, too. This is before he went to the Cubs. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You brought up Milwaukee. That leads us perfectly into the conversation about Game 5 last night. And I ask you this, and I realize I'm putting the cart before the horse, but I can't think of two other championships that city has seen. Obviously, Hank and the 57 Braves won it. Kareem and Oscar won it in 71. And is that it?
Did the Brewers win one? The
Brewers ain't won the World Series. Oh, yeah, yeah. With Don Sutton and them guys, the Harvey Wallbangers. Okay, 82 or 81, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Harvey Wallbangers. Was that Gorman Thomas?
Yeah. That dude. Don Sutton was on that team.
Sal Bando, a young Robin Yount.
Sal Bando.
What?
No, I haven't heard that name in forever. I think when I think of him, I think of the Oakland A's.
Oakland A's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been a while since they had one of those parades in Milwaukee.
And so it could happen, after Tuesday night. These guys took it to Phoenix last night in their home, and I didn't expect it. But then I'm not surprised.
The game turned on a dime in the second quarter.
Didn't it, though?
It just turned. I mean, it started out like Milwaukee was laying an egg and, things was happening. You say, okay, the home court team is going to win this thing. And I kept thinking about the way Milwaukee played in the series with the Hawks and how whoever got off to the good start, was going to win that game. That's something that Nate McMillan would always say throughout the series with Milwaukee. Whoever gets out, and plays strong early is gonna win it. And Milwaukee didn't get off to a great start, but man, in the second quarter.
Yep.
To me, this is the difference in this team. We saw it in the series against the Hawks. The Hawks were able to come from behind against teams that weren't in this situation before. Say Philadelphia, or didn't handle this situation as well. They come from behind against Philadelphia. They came from behind against the Knicks. They didn't come from behind against Milwaukee. Once Milwaukee got a lead on you, they don't let you back in. And I think that's the tough thing about the team. I think that shows the toughness, the experience in this at this level at this time, and the urgency they feel to close this thing out and win that championship. So I think you're seeing a lot of things at play. Jrue Holiday showed up and played timely plays. We always say, where's Chris Middleton when they're not in Milwaukee? He got off the bus last night too, and he played well. So.
But it's funny. You just mentioned what Milwaukee has, and yet we always hear that with some of the other things. These boys got themselves a pretty good big three too. You talk about the other teams and why they're going to do this or that because of their big three. Well, that's not a phrase I've heard connected with Milwaukee, and that's our fault. That's our fault, and we've been focusing on the adjustments or not adjustments that Coach Bud is doing. These boys play some defense. You're absolutely right. That first quarter, it's like – and them being on the road, too, and flipping a switch. Flipping a switch at home, you would think, is a lot easier. But – the pressure that must be running through Phoenix right now and has been since the last couple games. Now, Chris Paul showed up this time. It wasn't like he was the reason why. He was there. But you talk about the Hawks. I can draw a correlation between what the Hawks were doing up until they played Milwaukee, like you were saying, and how they came back. The Hawks played like they weren't supposed to be there, and they had nothing to lose, and there was no tightness. Now, injuries derailed a lot of the possibilities of what the Hawks could have done and continued, but they were playing street ball those times where they were coming back. They weren't supposed to be there, and the other team started getting tight. And I say the same thing applies to what's going on in this finals here, because nobody thought Milwaukee was going to take these guys to six and possibly seven games. And they have, I don't know how to put my finger on it, but you're talking about getting off to the start that they did. As you talked about, Jrue Holiday got two quick fouls right early. All right, there was no defense going on. And then you looked up in the third quarter, and you had Giannis with 20 points. You had Middleton with 20 points. Holiday had 25 points. You know, through three quarters. And you saw that these guys were playing in a way, and for whatever reason, Phoenix started, other than Devin Booker, they seemed to be a tightness. Not an outwardly visible one, but to me, it seems like the pressure is on Phoenix and was noticeable in a way last night that I think Milwaukee saw too. And I mean, these guys are stretching 10-point leads during that fourth quarter. And Phoenix was coming back, but wow. For a finals that really didn't resonate with the national basketball audience, you know, everybody wants to see LeBron. And by the way, they did get to see LeBron last night. That was nice.
You get to see LeBron. You get his movie came out Friday. And
exactly.
Game last night. So you want to see LeBron, there's LeBron.
There you go. You can see LeBron there. And then they couched it like, well, he's there to support his friend. I was like, shut up. That dude got a major motion picture out. And, well, it's a cartoon. They put him there. And that's fine. Everybody understood why. Got the conversation going about Space Jam. Okay. But are you surprised that where these guys are right now in this finals, heading to a game six?
Yeah, I was surprised to see Milwaukee win. I figured they had to win this one, to win a game on the road to give themselves a chance to win this thing. And so that was big, and the way they did it to me was big. Like you said, all of a sudden the second quarter you flip a switch and everything works for them. Everything's fine. And they had some stuff going on with the team in the background. You had Giannis's brother and some other personnel.
Yeah, that's right.
With positive tests.
Right.
And so that's something else that was in the backdrop as they played that game last night.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And you look at the Phoenix side. Okay, Devin Booker, 40 points. Paul had 21 points. Not as many turnovers like he had the last game. Again, a solid game from Chris Paul. A solid game. That's how I would describe it. Does a solid game from Chris Paul right now cut it? You need more than that.
It should. You would think it would. 21 points, 11 assists in 35 minutes.
Right.
You would say, okay, that should have them. And the rest of the folks should be able to fill in the blanks and get things done. And they get this win. But it didn't happen.
No.
Last night.
So, again, we will.
Who else did beat them? Pat Connaughton. Connaughton was big. 14 points off the bench.
Well, that's because Jrue Holiday got an early foul trouble. And he came in and he was just standing there behind that three-point line. And you know, I'm just surprised at the whole thing. I really am. Now, I got a problem with – no way in the world. You can pay me to stand out there amongst them folks in the – what do they call it? The deer?
outside, the deer zone or whatever.
Yeah, the deer zone or something like that. They had like 20-plus thousand people out in that area. Not you know, you don't see all of them on that camera shot, at least the one that we're looking – straight at them. Now, that aerial shot you might be able to see, but Sam, the arena only holds, you know, umpteen thousand, and you got more than 20 outside. Come on, there's stuff to do in Milwaukee. There's sports bars. I mean, and if you got to go someplace while you're in the middle of that.
It's become a happening, though. Remember, we saw this with Toronto a couple of years ago. Toronto was doing that. The fans were all outside and excited and jumping around and so we've kind of seen it before. So this,
I don't want it to stop. I'm just saying you ain't getting me up in there. I mean,
it looks great.
The support that you're providing for the team and that's like a thing. I'm thinking, listen, I get it. We sound like get off my grass, old man. I don't want it to go away. I don't want it to not happen. I'm just saying, that ain't for me. standing in the middle of that, because I start thinking about things. I want to get something to drink, want to get something to eat, got to go to the bathroom. And then there's no way I'm getting back to that spot. You know what I mean? So not. Then you got to figure out there's some people out there with some ingenious ideas going on to keep them in that spot throughout the hours that the game goes on. Because you know at halftime, them folks ain't going away. Because when they come back, they're going to find out that, as Richard Pryor said, somebody then stole your seats. Okay.
How early do you have to get there to get your spot?
Good question.
How early do you have to get there before a game that's not even happening in your area code or in your town? The game's out of town, and you got to show up that early for it.
Absolutely. 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 Yeah. Sam, who do we got coming up next? Your boy, Jeff Fisher, right?
Folks. And we're going to see, he's going to make some people smile, but he's going to make some folks frown. Jeff Fisher from High School Football America is going to join us with his preseason 100 poll. Does he have any folks from our neck of the woods in the top 10, in the top 20? Stay tuned. We'll find out. It's Sam and Greg on a Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 9290 Game and 9290game.com. We're available on the Odyssey.com app. Stay with us.
We got a thing going on.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam and Greg with you on this Sunday morning. So glad you're with us. Guys, coming out a little gray this morning. Things are clear up, but it's expected to be another hot one. It was really, really blazing hot yesterday, Greg. But still, you know, we're getting set for the season to come up. The college teams have their media days coming up. We're going to get into something that one college team is doing a little odd at the top of the hour. We'll get into that. Of course, the NFL players will head to camp the back end of the coming week. We start to see some of that happen on the 31st. Falcons are going to open their camp. But the high school work really all summer, except for a couple of weeks that we call dead weeks around here, and some play during the spring. But our guest who's going to join us has a compilation of what he believes are the top 100 teams, Greg. And
looking at the top 300, but go ahead.
Jeff Fisher heads up High School Football America and joins us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Jeff, first of all, how have you been? Good to catch up.
Morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Greg and Sam. I've been well, and you're right. It is now a top 300, Greg, and I think I lost my mind. But what really resonated going into that break with what you said there, Sam, you know, make some people happy, make some people mad. just make them at least talk football. That's the way I look at it. You can't please everyone.
Well, what made it necessary to extend it? You know, we got the top 100 here in front of us, but you said now 300.
You know, COVID, I guess, right? I got a little bored. I had a little bit more time sitting around the house and put some more information in. Quite honestly, we've been challenging ourselves. I wrote a column yesterday on the website which showed 10 years ago we did our first poll, which was actually 4 weeks into the season, and it was an opinion poll. And we always like to try and grow it, so we started with a top 25, moved it to a top 50. 2017, we made it 100. And this year, we just said, well, how can we make it bigger and better and get more teams into the conversation? So there you go, top 300.
Man, we're looking at this, and we see some names we're familiar with up at the top, some national powers who are, you know, year in and year out, names in the mention. But we're looking for some of our home folk here from Georgia, man. And we don't have anybody in the top 10. So you had a lot of time to sit around and think about it. But you didn't think long enough and hard enough to get anybody. You know, the folks out of Grayson want to have a conversation with you. The folks over at Buford, they like to talk with you, too.
They have conversed with us on Twitter and me personally. As I tell you, every time at this time of year, I've got to have a thick skin. I'm going to be honest with you. I was shocked. You know, I'm shocked every year when the algorithm, because that's what we use, folks. We use an algorithm. It's not an opinion poll anymore. And I always like to see what happens. And quite honestly, and we've been talking about this for the last 2 or 3 years, that George has been climbing and climbing. And when the numbers came out, I was a little surprised. I got to be honest with you. But, you know, the one thing we do not do is we stick with it. And as I told you before, I do not, I repeat, I do not like preseason polls. I do it for the fans, but it also riles them up, and then it tests how much Jeff can take on his shoulders when people start saying, where are the Rams? Why are they number 17 in the nation? Why is Lowndes ranked ahead of them? Where is, you know, Cedar Grove? They should be in there, Jeff. It's always interesting to see, but again, we do it for the fans. But and the other thing that I did when I wrote the column yesterday is, you know, we did it 4 weeks in 2012, because the algorithm is designed to figure out what's going on and analyze on the field, right? So, I mean, truly, if we wanted to do it the right way and I didn't want to take all the grief, I would release it sometime mid-September for the first one. But again, it's great. Most fans, you know, you get you know, three or four on Twitter that just want to make their points known, and then I look and see they've got three followers, and I move on.
Jeff Fisher joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Mr. Crenshaw mentioned a couple schools. I don't know if you can mention the program that's had the loudest, honestly, you know, response to you. Okay, you want to mention names? Who have you heard from? Which program have you heard the most from as far as when these polls come out? If not this year, in the past. And it's been successful or it hasn't been. You were right or you were wrong?
Well, first off, I'll brag first. We have, since starting the algorithm in 2013, 67% of the teams that begin the year in the preseason rankings have finished the season in the preseason, in the final rankings, excuse me. So we're happy with that. Grayson, and I'm going to give them all the credit in the world because they deserved it. And you know how technical problems exist when you're working away from, you know, various normal things we had. Grayson, somehow, when we released the preliminary 300 in May, which was basically just an alphabetical listing state by state, somehow, some way, something didn't spit over into the website, and Grayson wasn't on there. So I kind of caused that.
Uh-oh.
But they're always very, very vocal. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. We were one of the finders of Milton early on, the algorithm found Milton. So I think Milton's had, you know, some success in the algorithm that a lot of people didn't see. And the reason for that will be, and I think it will continue to be, you know, Adam Clack and company over there, they're not afraid to play a national schedule, right? They're going to Philly this year to take on, you know, number 9, St. Joseph's, a perennial power in Pennsylvania. They've got Life Christian out of Richmond, a great, you know, private school that upset the state champ in Tennessee last year and went to Texas and beat a team. So I'll point those two out. But I will say this, for the most part, and I'm going to say 99.8%, The people that do reach out and get a little vocal, they're very, you know, they're just proud supporters. They're not getting mean. No mean tweets.
Folks, we're spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with Jeff Fisher from High School Football America. He is social. You can follow it on HSFB America, HSFB, all caps, America, lowercase. That is on Twitter. Yep. Tell me how much it complicated things to have teams playing the schedule. You talk about playing the out-of-state opponents. As teams in Georgia couldn't play those folks last year due to COVID. You had some states like North Carolina that just finished their high school football season here a few weeks ago. So how do you do those things when you had people playing high school football in the spring, some playing in the fall, some end up playing short schedules last year just due to just the way things were going? How did you factor those things in?
You know, we kind of went with just the norm, right? So the games were the games, and you can't make up games, right, if they're not playing them. So we just did it and let it, you know, let it rip. It did cause problems. I mean, you know, there were teams, you know, in California that were definitely top 25 teams that had to wait till the spring. We did end up, I'm trying to think when it was a couple of weeks ago, we did do a final 2021. So we put the two seasons together and came up with it and tried to do it. But it wasn't easy, Sam. And, you know, to be honest with you, COVID is still impacting high school football in the fact that a lot of teams that, you know, have trouble scheduling games that usually play those interstate games, you know, they didn't want to schedule an interstate game in case we had, you know, some big changes this year where, you know, COVID came back with a vengeance and teams couldn't travel, et cetera, et cetera. And there's still some teams out there. Our number one team in the nation, you know, Mater Dei out of Santa Ana, California, is still looking for an opponent because, you know, there's not a lot of out-of-state games because people think, well, if we schedule this, are we going to get to play it? Is something going to happen where we're not allowed to travel? So that's been the one sad part because I've been loving some of the out-of-state games. And Georgia just doesn't have as many as they did. But, you know, Milton, like I said, is one that does have a couple of teams on there from out-of-state.
Thoughts about teams that do get to come, and the Corky Kell Kickoff Classic is for the first time having an out-of-state opponent this year. Hoover is due to come and play in the game. You know, how big is that for them to get to come and play here in a platform and in an arena that has some of the best that will be playing in Mercedes-Benz Stadium that day? Folks like Collins Hill is going to be there. Lowndes is going to be there. You know, North Gwinnett. Just thoughts about them getting a chance to come to Georgia and be a part of a big showcase here in our state.
Yeah, no doubt. And Josh Niblett, the head coach at Hoover, is one of those guys that, you know, won't duck anybody, and also, you know, has trouble at times getting opponents, so they go out of state. So I think they're looking forward to this. I have not had a chance to talk to Coach Niblett, you know, directly about it, but, you know, he schedules these games because he wants to, you know, test himself against the best and then also, you know, get the kids the experience of traveling and playing in a great venue like Mercedes-Benz. So I think that's going to be great. And you know, that's one of those ones. And I think North Gwinnett's going to be pretty darn good this year, right? So they're ranked 189 in the rankings right now. Hoover's number 36. And this is back to my point of, you know, doing it once the season starts. Hey, you know, North Gwinnett gets a big win, you know, against Hoover. That shifts them dramatically in the rankings. So, you know, once the season starts, it'll be, you know, back to normal and see things, you know, kind of shake out, and, you know, maybe the Grayson fans will get themselves in that top 10, or maybe Lowndes will be there with them too. You know, you never know, but that Corky Kell is fun. I mean, you've got the last three games at Mercedes-Benz that day on Saturday. You've got Lowndes and Walton, both of those teams ranked in the top 300. You got North Gwinnett, I already said that's 189 versus 36. And then Brookwood takes on Collins Hill. Brookwood 134 and Collins Hill 66 nationally. Brookwood may get a big adjustment if they lose because they just pulled out of their game with American Heritage in Florida. They were supposed to play them in Naples, and I just got a call saying that they pulled that out. So I don't know if they've got another game on the schedule coming up or not, but a game against American Heritage, which is a perennial Florida power, really gave the Bronx, you know, a big kind of kick in that preseason strength of schedule. So, but anyway, getting back to the point, Corky Kell's going to be a lot of fun, as it always is. I mean, that's a lot of, you know, that's like a sugar rush, right? We're going to call it a high school football rush.
Jeff Fisher joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Now, a couple things. First of all, oh, I don't have a lot of time to get into this. I'm closing this list down. Because Jeff, I'm sorry, and we love having you on as a guest, but this thing is bogus if it doesn't have McEachern on there. I don't see it nowhere to be found. I don't care what their record was, and they are the opening game in this year's Corky Kell. So I'm going to be that obnoxious, loud fan of that program. I may even send you a text. You might have to edit. But why isn't McEachern in there?
They are.
I didn't see them in the top. Where are they at? Where am I missing them?
You're between 200. So we did
200
through 200. No, yeah, they're in the 300. They're in the 300.
Oh, see? No. We got to you got to check your algorithm. Unplug it and plug it back in. I'm messing with you a little bit though. Yeah. But this
well,
is.
I you know what? I'm always prepared from day one. I already knew what colors you were flying when I talked to you. So
yeah.
I just know they are between. We didn't rank. Because it's just like milliseconds, you know, as far as like 1/1000th and all that. We didn't do 200 to 300, but they are in the top 300. You can see them there. Check it out. I promise you. If you don't see it, so the teams that are outside the 200, you got Allatoona, you got Archer, you got Cherokee, you got Marist, you got McEachern, and I'm doing them alphabetically. Roswell, you got Valdosta, you got Walton, and Ware County. And Cedar Grove's not in there, and that shocked even me.
They got a lot of change going over Cedar Grove. They got to break in a new coach, new head coach, and a lot of change.
And they got a ton of talent, like always.
They do. Jeff, we appreciate you getting up, and we're going to check back with the
season thank you, man.
And see if you manage to see if you manage to move some of our Georgia teams up into the top 10 as the season progresses. I know the folks out at Collins Hill might have to have a little conversation with you too. They got the best pass catch combination, I think, in the nation.
I will agree with you on that.
I will watch it.
I agree with you, and yeah, they've been very, very nice to me about that, but they deserve to be maybe a little bit higher. We'll see. They got talent, and they can, if they do it on the field, they'll do it in the rankings. Thanks, guys. We always appreciate you.
As always, Jeff, we appreciate it. Have yourself a big day. Me and you are going to talk about this thing here in a minute because I know you're going to get locally here. Have you reset Mr. Crenshaw? And for the rest of you, stick around. 7 o'clock is coming up, which means Sam brings us up on everything that's going on locally. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, also the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.